Welcome back to Beyond Sports on ESPN 1000 and ESPN Chicago.com. Hannah Stanley with you today, as I am every single Sunday on Beyond Sports. And today we are talking with Dr. Chris Totes, who is going to be a featured presenter at the Food as Medicine event, which is free and open to the public. It's going to be at Resurrection University on Thursday, February 23rd in the evening, beginning at 5:30. Dr. Totes, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking a little bit about the presentation that's upcoming and how there's going to be a food demo on people making smart smoothies that are good for them. We spoke a little bit about what happened in the first Food as Medicine presentation, which was in October. And we keep coming back to your specialty, which is the Chinese medicine and the approach that multiple hundreds of years of wisdom brings to our current day in concert with Western medicine and Western science, and how that kind of works together. But if you could sort of give me, and this is, you're going to laugh, if you could give me a primer on Chinese medicine and how food plays into that, I know that this could be years of conversation. But what people can expect, a lot of people, I've gone to see chiropractors. I think acupuncture is brilliant and I love it. It really does help me. But a lot of people are either nervous about it, haven't been exposed to it, et cetera. And really where it can kind of work in with their medical plan and their health journey.
Sure. So I have a dual license, as you said. So I'm a chiropractor and an acupuncturist. So I did the additional 3 years of prerequisite school to go back and get a separate license in acupuncture. So depending upon if you were to go to a chiropractor that did acupuncture, depending upon how much training they have, sometimes they'll talk to you about food and sometimes they won't. For the most part, if you see somebody that has a separate license in acupuncture, part of there's an old Taoist phrase that is, you know, first fix the diet, then do acupuncture and herbs. You know, and that's a generalized it's much
overview.
More eloquently, yes, that of course. But yeah, it basically boils down to, you know, first we have to look at the person and then we have to fix their diet. And if that's not getting the results that we need, then we're going to do extra interventions, which is acupuncture and herbal medicine. And a lot of the spices, interestingly, that we use in everyday cooking fall into the compendium of a book that we call the Materia Medica, which is how we learn all of our herbs. And so it's interesting. So if you take something as simple as like ginger, ginger is actually an herb in Chinese medicine that, you know, is designed to be a warm and what we would call an acrid herb, and it enters into specific channels. But when you look at its characteristics, what it can do is it can help benefit the stomach, alleviates nausea, which any pregnant woman who's been nauseous has tried ginger. But it can also help stop coughing, and it can help transform phlegm, because you'll see people take ginger tea when they're sick. And so this is, it's an herb. It's called shenjiang when it's in the fresh state, ganjiang when it's dried. And we use these herbs, you know, specifically for conditions in Chinese medicine. But then the nice thing about the Materia Medica is it goes into the science of, well, what are the ingredients that do that and what are the studies behind how it works? So if you take an acupuncturist or a Chinese medicine practitioner that's studied some herbal medicine, and we all study herbal medicine to some sort, we at least learn the spices that come, the spices in the food, like green onions are also an herb.
Really?
In the Materia Medica. Yeah, and so we use them for people that are having colds. So it's just kind of interesting to see, like, you know, the foods fall into the herb book. And then there's also herbs that are, you know, straight herbs. I mean, I'm not expecting people to go, you know, take off the top of the persimmon and, you know, and fix it up, you know, because that is an herb as well. But, you know, you start looking like, you know, the branch of the tree will do something different than the fruit of the tree will do something than the root of the tree. And so it's really interesting how all of that moves together. But just even knowing that, you know, when you would come in, we would take your history, we would find out what's going on specifically with you, come down to our Western medicine diagnosis, oh, you have reflux, and then our Chinese medicine diagnosis would be like, oh, you have heat in the stomach with some phlegm, and what are we going to do dietarily to help get rid of that? to help calm your nausea down and your reflux down.
Right.
So, you know, and that's like one of five options behind how you could have reflux, because just like everybody's reflux doesn't look the same, right? Does your reflux bother you all day, or is it just at night when you lay down? You know, is it spicy foods that trigger it, or is it every food that triggers it? You know, everybody's reflux starts to look different, just like everybody's health care looks a little bit different. And the goal in Chinese medicine is to find out into what category can we put you so that the treatment is going to work best for you.
Which of course, would be the ultimate goal. People go to medical professionals, Eastern or Western or both, for better health. They want to feel better. Or I will say this, they want to feel less bad. I don't know.
Correct, yeah. But there's a whole subcategory of people that sort of pride themselves in being ill, but they're few and far between.
Yes.
But for the most part, yeah, people don't go to the doctor for a recreational sport. They go because something's wrong.
Right.
And they're going in and putting their faith and trust and hope into the person that's sitting with them in the room to help give them some answers as well as some solutions as to what might help. And the one thing that pulled me and attracted me into Chinese medicine was that it was very customized, you know, whereas, you know, we're going to hopefully weed out that 25% of people that don't respond to set medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by giving them more of a specific, because we've teased apart their history a little deeper, that hopefully then we've got the remedy that's right for them, whether it's acupuncture or herbs or diet or whatever the case may be, to give them the solutions to their problems.
This is so very fascinating. If people have not been exposed to Chinese medicine in any category, I was first exposed to acupuncture and then now beyond even that. But it's fascinating, and some of the things are really interesting. How do you establish these? You have warm stomach or however you were even saying that. How do you sit there? I mean, is it, I had a Chinese medicine practitioner look at my tongue, and mm-hmm. I've had them look at my hands. I've had mm-hmm. multiple different things, and I'm always like, anybody want to tell me what's going on here?
sure. And so a big, you know, I mean, I teach continuing education on the weekends, and, you know, I want the doctors to understand what they're doing to the patients. And I tell them all the time, you need to explain to people what you're doing. Otherwise, it looks like voodoo, right?
Right.
Otherwise, we just look weird. And so I tell them, I was like, there's four categories that we use in Chinese medicine. One of them is listening, right? So we have to do, well, first we have to do they call it interrogation. I love it. It's history taking.
Okay.
So we take your history so we can find out what's going on.
Typical in Western medicine also.
Very typical in Western medicine, exactly. And then our diagnosis is a little bit different. So in the looking part, what we're going to do is we're going to look at your facial geometry. We're going to look at the coloring of your skin. We're going to, and you know, a lot of this gets done in Western medicine as well, but it means something to us. Like, is your entire face red or just your cheeks red?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to look at your hands. We're going to look at how dry are they? How moist are they? You know, what's the turgor of your skin, right? They check that for hydration status in Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm going to look at color, and I'm going to look at your joints, and do they look knobby? You know, things along that line. How do you carry yourself when you walk in the room? Are you walking upright and robustly and come and greet me with a firm handshake, or are you very frail?
Mm-hmm.
All of this means something to us. And so we're going to listen to how you talk. Are you very boisterous, or are you very quiet? Are you groaning? Are you groaning when you talk, or are you smooth when you talk? And so we're going to listen to all of this, and that helps us with our diagnosis. We're going to take your pulse. This is part of the touching part. We palpate the meridians, which is the energy pathways in the body, but we also take your pulse. There's 32 different pulses in Chinese medicine. So we're going to feel the nature of what that pulse feels like. Does it come up and does it greet your fingers, or do I have to push down to the bone to feel it? And we're going to categorize those for the meridians on which part of the pulse is problematic for you. And then we're going to look at your tongue. And your tongue serves as a map of your entire body, your entire meridian system, and your organ system for us to see what does the color of the tongue look like? What does the coating of the tongue look like? Do you have any cracks on your tongue? Are the vessels underneath your tongue dilated? We're going to look at all of those together, which is going to help foundationally put your diagnosis together.
This is fascinating.
It's just a different way of looking, where, you know, typical Western medicine doctors will they look at a lot of similar stuff that we do. You know, they're going to look in your throat and look in your ears and look in your eyes and, you know, take a look at your skin, and they might look at your lab work. We're going to look at the pulse, and we're going to look at the tongue, and we're going to palpate the meridians, and we're going to look at your body. It's just, I make jokes that, you know, I started studying chiropractic medicine first. And I made jokes when I came into Chinese medicine that history taking in Western medicine is awesome, and when you move it into Chinese medicine, it's history taking on steroids. Because I'm not just going to ask you, how do you sleep? Oh, you're like, I sleep pretty good. Maybe I'm a little restless. I sleep 7 hours a night. And I'm going to be like, how is that sleep? Is it restful? Do you wake up feeling rested? Do you have trouble falling asleep? Do you have trouble staying asleep? Mm-hmm. Do you dream when you sleep? Do you move around when you sleep? Are your feet cold when you sleep? Like, so I'm going to really tease things apart. So you dig a little bit deeper, because we need that digging, because we have different tools.
Really, really interesting. Hannah Stanley with you. This is ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. Today, I am joined by Dr. Chris Totes. She is with Serenity Family Wellness. That number is 312-898-6327. However, you can go see her present on a panel of speakers, and that's going to be Thursday, February 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Wicker Park campus of Resurrection University. And that location is 1431 North Claremont in Chicago. You can call them if you've forgotten any of this information. We're going to come right back very quickly, wrap everything up, and make sure we give out that information again. So stay tuned. Again, Dr. Totes joining me today talking about food as medicine, part 2.